Joining us now, he is the voice of the Panthers, Mick Mixon. What's going on, Mick?
Oh, it's just one thing and another. I'm out here walking the dog. It's everything's good in the neighborhood. I got a long list of, I think I got some decorations. I got to get out of the attic for my wife later. Learn these names and numbers for Kansas City. Watch a little tape on the Chiefs on NFL Game Pass. It's going to be a heck of a day.
Maybe Bed Bath & Beyond if you have time.
That's right.
All right, so I got to ask you this. Was there a sigh of relief going around the Panthers locker room knowing that I dropped their defense in fantasy football so that they were going to have much more success in the field?
Oh, that was universally talked about. That, in addition to keep pounding, that's the two most probably noteworthy phrases in Carolina Panthers' recent history.
Yeah, Mick, don't encourage him. It's all about him somehow. Everything is all about him. Don't encourage him.
Hey, you know, the first week that I did not have the Panthers' defense in fantasy football, they score a defensive touchdown. They pick up the fumble, run it back against Arizona. I mean, it's coincidence? I think not.
I think it's fascinating how sports causes normally sane, rational, intelligent people.
Well, you just eliminated him.
To do and say crazy things.
Now,
people with their lucky pin and their lucky tie with acorns on it, and everybody's going to watch the game or listen to the game in their lucky chair. But it seems to me as though Kansas City would probably have just as many people doing the same thing in their lucky chair.
True.
So the metaphysical forces that might tug on the prolate spheroid in the universe will be neutralized.
Well, and keep in mind, they've been doing it a lot longer than we have here in Carolina. So they may have deeper rooted traditions and craziness than we have here.
Yeah, they may be better at it. I'm not superstitious, but I know a lot of people are. And I've never played fantasy football. I respect how deep the knowledge base is of some people that are in several leagues. It's definitely a great way to keep up, give you a rooting interest even in games that don't involve your favorite team. Maybe one of these years I'll get in a league and probably finish dead last.
Well, you know, I mean, it's funny. I don't know if I would consider myself superstitious, but as a hockey player, us hockey players, we do weird things. I mean, we always put the skates on the same way and the equipment goes on the same way. So those are just little things that we do. So, but, you know, I mean, so the Panthers defense has stepped it up a little bit, maybe not necessarily against, you know, some of the top performing offenses in the league. But, I mean, they're doing their job and they've got to be feeling better about themselves.
We're a team on the come. I like it, and I appreciate the phraseology that you just used. I think you said a lot of good things there. The Panthers have gotten back in touch with some of the reasons that they were good last year and the reasons that they've been building to another good season in 2016. And then isn't it interesting that the Chiefs come in, having been exactly where the Panthers were, 1-5 last year. The Chiefs, since that 1-5 start, have won 16 of 18. And the Panthers aspire to a streak similar to that. Andy Reid did it with the Chiefs by not changing much. He basically just said, I believe in what we're doing. The coaches believe in the players in this room. We're not going to bring five guys off the practice squad and replace five veterans just to shake it up. We're just going to stay the course that we've plotted. And I think in a lot of ways that's the Panthers. To take a deeper dive into it, why has the defense risen up? The pocket push is coming from the inside out, but that's not new. That's been more effective lately, guys, because the secondary has improved. As those young defensive backs have gotten healthy and grown, it's allowed the Panthers to tie off some of those quick game arteries that teams had been using, and it's allowed that pass rush to get there. So we're now looking at 12 sacks in the last two games.
Well, and Mick, I'm looking at tomorrow's game, and I love building on the success of what happened, you know, out in L.A. last week. And we're halfway through this thing. You know, we've had, I don't know, we continue to force Cam to be the vocal leader, and I'm not sure that he's well suited for that. I think, you know, some guys are and some guys aren't, and I feel badly for him. I'm not sure he's suited for it, and he takes way too much criticism. But as I look at these remaining games, I mean, there's nothing – there's nothing in them that tells me, okay, there's a set win, there's one that they're going to drop. Chiefs, Saints, Raiders, Seahawks, Chargers, Redskins, Falcons, who've been playing well, and the Buccaneers. I mean, what level of success do you think we can expect from this team going forward, and where do they have to get to get a wild card or even win the division?
Well, the margins are pretty thin.
Yeah.
You can't really mess around too much after this. I think that going back to your earlier comment, if you were looking for somebody to feel sorry for, you should probably move off of Cam Newton. I think he's doing okay.
Yeah, I think so too. I just don't think he's a born vocal leader. I mean, he ends up being a lightning rod, you know, and I'm not sure that he has to be that guy for that team. Not every team has the starting quarterback as the number one guy who's a leader. You can see guys who don't do a very good job with that, who just sort of defer to other players on the team. And I think we would accept that from him. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think the job requires of him that he be kind of out there. I mean, he's a team captain. He's earned it. He really doesn't care. You know, his answer to the Cam, you're not a good enough loser problem, is not to take classes in eye contact and be the Toastmaster General. His feeling is just, I'll fix that problem by winning. And you can kind of get behind that, I think, especially if you're a Panther fan. Let's see. What were you saying about him? I got tripped up.
We were looking at the schedule and what they had to do to make the playoffs, either as a wild card team or even win this division with the remaining eight games. I think they could win them all. They could lose them all. This is a team that the teams they're facing are all sort of streaky right now.
Probably need some help. I mean, definitely don't need to win out from here. You could still. You could still lose one or two, but what would you think? 9-7 to give you a realistic hope at it?
And 7 maybe for a wild card. I think you have to get probably to 10-6 to have a shot at the division.
The Chiefs were Chiefs went 11-5. They were 1-5. Then they won 10 in a row, and that got them into a road game wild card scenario in the AFC. They went to Houston, won 30-0. So. I think at this point, like 500, if the Panthers could somehow, it's a big if because you got Kansas City, then New Orleans on short rest. But they're two straight home games. If the Panthers could get to 500, that would seem like Mardi Gras.
Right.
Yeah, agreed.
Would seem like 10-0 compared to where we've been.
Mm-hmm. I mean, with Raiders, Seahawks, Falcons to remain, yeah, I would say 8-8 is worth celebrating given where the team started.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Now, I think when you look at the game against Kansas City, I mean, obviously, Kansas City is, you know, Alex Smith, I believe, is back at quarterback. He's one of those guys that tends to not make a lot of mistakes. They tend to rush the ball, fairly well. You got to look at the Panthers are going to have to continue this defensive pattern where they're stopping the run to give their secondary the ability to, you know, target certain downs. I mean, if you have a team that's going to be throwing all over the place, that's where I think the Panthers still may struggle a little bit. But when you look at it, the Chiefs, they're going to run the ball. They're going to try and be passing efficiently. They don't give up a lot of points. So this is an opportunity for the Panthers to kind of step up and show that they can handle somebody on from the defensive side as well as score some points on a team that's very defensive, unlike what we saw last week against the Rams.
Couldn't agree with you more. Beautifully said. The Chiefs aren't great at anything, but they're pretty good at everything. They kick it. They cover it. They turn you over. They're first in the NFL in takeaways with 20. They're first in turnover margin at a plus 13. The Panthers are tied for 26 at a minus 6. The Chiefs are very, very good on special teams. Defensively, they cause a lot of matchup problems with their 3-4. They got Bob Waters there, the defensive coordinator, flashback for a moment to the old Western Carolina coach, Bob Sutton, as their D coordinator. So they're a little unpredictable on D. You can run if you had to look for one weakness in their game, it might be run defense. The Jaguars rushed for over 200 against them last week.
Yeah, I mean, that's They're probably the Jordan Spieth of last year of football, where, like you said, Jordan didn't do anything exceptionally well. He just didn't do anything poorly. So that's kind of what you would expect from the Chiefs. I mean, the point spread in the game is, the Panthers are favored by 3. We always say the home team gets the 3 points. So other than home field, this is a pick 'em game.
Pretty even matchup. If you don't turn it over, Kansas City thrives on that. That seems to be what feeds their engine. 6 of their takeaways have come in the red zone. So if the Panthers could just hang on to the ball, don't 3-putt from 5 feet, don't do anything crazy, don't shank one off and hit the cart shed on the first tee, it's winnable.
Yeah, I mean, if the Saints this weekend can handle the Broncos, which, again, you just don't know, that Thursday night game with the Saints and the Panthers handle things against Kansas City, that Thursday night game with the Saints on short rest becomes kind of an important game.
Oh, gosh, I know. And Drew Brees is playing phenomenal ball. I mean, it's just I've upped my contribution to the Drew Brees retirement party to $3,500.
Well, now, and if both teams lose, the NFL is going to be crying about another bad Thursday night game.
Well, NBC will.
NBC that the nation doesn't care about.
Yeah, that's true. What do you guys think? Should we do away with Thursday night football?
Oh.
I mean, it just it's very strange. You know, it's funny. NBC on the Sunday night game always seems to get a great matchup because they have the ability to do the flex game and all that stuff. And it's just weird. It always seems like the Sunday night game is the big game. The Monday night games are eh, and the Thursday night games are eh. So it just kind of, I think that's part of the problem is that you just, you get Baltimore, Cleveland.
Well, yeah,
and it's just like
without a choice, and the color rush thing is not doing it for me. I think one of the issues is all of the NCAA and the NFL are both trying to see what's our tolerance for football. Can we put it on every night of the week and have people still tune in at the same rate that we have been traditionally? And I think they have sort of found that tolerance. I mean, there's a lot of pushback about big time conferences playing Friday night and NCAA games. And I think this Thursday night thing, then you've got some, kind of like this wraparound season in golf, which I am very critical of. I want to have a chance to miss football. And sometimes that can be just 4 or 5 days. But I think, if you end up having football every night of the week, you dilute the product.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree. I mean, like I always say, just because you can race trucks doesn't mean that you should.
Mick, I showed up for my first ever NASCAR press conference, and it was a truck series conference, and I didn't know they raced trucks. I mean, I'm working in NASCAR, and I was like, some guy named Jack Sprague or Sprague.
Yeah, Sprague.
Yeah, they pulled the cover off of this vehicle to show his new sponsor, and I was like, what the hell is that? I wanted to borrow it because I was moving that weekend. I'm with you on the trucks.
That is too funny. Actually sounds like something I might have done back when I was young, when I was your age.
It's to the point of, I guess because we had two games on Thanksgiving, and it was a Thursday. Then suddenly they said, "Well, those games get good ratings. Let's just have them all the time." And then they don't understand that not every day is a holiday there, NFL. So people just don't take time out of the Thursday night to go watch the football game. I mean, ratings are down all across the board. And I think it's partly we had a question earlier about which teams can actually win the Super Bowl right now. And I mean, you have two teams that are 7-1. And the Raiders at 7-2, and outside of those three teams, there's a lot of mediocrity going on right now, and I think that's why you see low ratings, because teams are not separating themselves, and it's like I can turn on a game and I see mediocre football across the board.
Mick, you tell us. You're the expert. Is it mediocrity or is it parity?
It's not mediocrity. These are the best. Nothing's happened to the game. These are the greatest athletes in the world. Play and they're coached better than ever. I think what we've got is a problem with the definition of mediocrity.
True.
When Seattle, who was it that played the Arizona and Seattle?
Right.
Played to a 6-6 tie. That was not mediocre football. Let's not confuse good defense with mediocre ball. Some
right.
people think it's only good if it's 51-48. And I stridently disagree with that. Now, there's no denying the ratings, and I think there's a lot of reasons for that. My wife would tell you it's the Walking Dead, petulant, surgically enhanced housewives hollering at each other in some distant city. Other choices on TV.
Right.
But I think you don't have to be Bill Veeck, one of the great sports marketers ever, to understand what's been true for 50,000 years, and that is scarcity breeds momentum. And you have to make sure you don't oversaturate your people with the product. And then in an election year, I mean, I think that a lot of the debates and a lot of the venom, the vitriol, has siphoned off some folks that would normally be watching NFL football.
But at the same time, you also look, I mean, right now at the midpoint of the season, there are 20 teams at 500 or less. 20.
But
this is the design of the league.
Yeah, I know.
How the league is set up. It's how it's draft, the way draft orders determine, the way the NFL scheduling computer works. It's totally set up to have, and this will happen one year if we all live long enough, 32 teams will go 8-8.
Yeah, well, no, it's engineered parity, and I tend to agree with you. I like those games. I loved the LSU-Alabama game last week. Some people thought it was terrible football. Now, I played defense and I coached defense, but I loved that game because it was a constant struggle. It wasn't just, you know, guys moving out of the way and scoring. I mean, I'm with you. I think it's more engineered parity than it is.
But let me ask.
Bad football.
But wait, let me ask this question, because LSU and Alabama are two good football teams. So let's say that you had to watch Cleveland against San Francisco in a 3-3 game into the third quarter. Is that exciting you?
From a football perspective?
Yeah, from a fan watching a game perspective. I mean, are you excited enough to sit and watch San Francisco, Cleveland right now, 3-3 in the third quarter? I'm not.
Yeah, I'm the wrong guy to ask, because I would watch that over those two teams lighting it up and showing that they have no defense at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where we are, is that we're used to seeing these teams with spread offenses and doing all this stuff.
Let's welcome Mick back to the show. believe it or not, we're still on the line with Mick Mixon, the voice of the Panthers.
All right.
Well, it wouldn't get any better. I mean, if you've got two teams that are out of the playoffs or aren't having good seasons, it wouldn't really be any more watchable if it was 28-all.
Yeah.
Might be a little more intriguing, but I just think that I think we're going to be all right. The NFL is Big Daddy, even though the ratings are down. That's like saying that the Victoria's Secret model from last year is getting a little older. She's aging. It's still a pretty good property.
All right, Mick. Well, we've gone way past our time here. You know, Sunday, make sure that you call the Panthers hitting it long and straight and making every putt they see.
You got it. You can count on it, man. I appreciate you guys having me on.
All right. Thanks a lot.